if there were a threat assessment program in place and trained experts who had the ability to see better what was going on here in terms of warning signs, there would have been very different action taken, in my view. There's no way that that student would have been returned to the classroom. So even when you go beyond the disturbing questions of his access as a 15-year-old to a handgun, there's also the question of why was the situation so ignored in some ways.
And we're going to talk more about that in the second part of our conversation. Mark Fulman, author of the new book, Trigger Points, Inside the Mission to Stop Mass Shootings in America, national affairs editor at Mother Jones, where he covers gun violence and runs their mass shootings database, which we're going to talk about. Democracy Now! Has an immediate job opening for a news writer producer. Visit democracynow.org/jobs to find out more and apply immediately. That does it for our show. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Stay safe.
April is Jazz Appreciation Month, and KBOO Community Radio is very proud to be the first FM station in the state of Oregon to program jazz. Let's celebrate KBOO's diverse jazz programming and the jocks who volunteer their talent to share their love of jazz music. Jazz Appreciation Month, or JAM as it's affectionately known, represents a sweet spot in the lives of KBOO's music lovers. So join us on Wednesdays, noon to 4, and Saturdays, 2 to 5, throughout the month of April, as we toast America's greatest art form here on your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Portland and beyond. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is The Gap. My name is Tammy, and with me is the lustrous, amazing, I don't know, is that...
lustrous, I like that one.
That got you, I saw that. the effervescent, the alluring, the Whoa. The magnetic,
okay.
The healing, the prophet, the future, the past, and the present.
No pressure.
My co-host and friend, Althea Billing.
Woohoo! Good morning, everybody. So happy to be here. Very excited. We were off last week. And we are actually here this morning kicking off the spring drive here at KBOO.
Buzz, buzz.
Buzz, buzz. It's the Hive Drive. It's bee-themed and nature and spring. And we're so glad that you are tuned in this morning and tuned into KBOO. We got a ton of fun things coming in the drive, as we heard the promo for Jazz Appreciation Month. Lots of really great things happening. And today is actually World Art Day, celebrating that power to create art. Mm. And we do so much of that here at KBOO.
Worth it.
Up and down the schedule, you got folks programming their music, putting together radio theater, doing great interviews. You know, there is so much art happening at this
Oh, yeah.
Station.
And I think there's going to start being some, I heard something about a live musical show happening.
Something.
So like live instruments. What am I trying to... A show.
Oh.
Not like a program.
is that what they're calling it
these
days?
A very intimate type of musical get-together.
Yeah, a musical get-together.
That will be broadcasted here.
Yeah. So anyway, lots to look forward to, folks. And hey, this is the Hive Drive. Buzz, buzz. Radio is our business. That's one of the puns we came up with. So if you do love to support KBOO, we do appreciate that. And if you want to be a part of our Hive Drive, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. You can also mail us a check to the station, 20 Southeast 8th Ave, Portland, Oregon, 97214. That's the spiel. We can get to the show.
You are just so good. You are amazing at what you do.
Thank you.
500 points.
Whoa.
It's a buzz. It got me.
I'll try not to let it go to my head.
It. you know, it is that time where we get into our program. The first part, as devotees of the show know, is where we either do a roundup, not a round table.
No. Well, we're sitting at two different tables and neither of them are round, unfortunately. So.
I don't know what shape this is even. Or we do an interview. And then for the second part, we do what we call a community question, which we ask you, the listener, a question with hopes that you call and comment. So look forward to that at the bottom of the hour around 8:30. Now we can just go ahead and get into it.
Yeah, let's jump in. So the Portland Police Bureau sure did get audited this week. And I think the news came out either Friday or Monday, and pretty shocking stuff. The first big headline that came out of it was that showed that the Portland Police Bureau gathered broad surveillance on people who participated in the 2020 racial justice protests without any suspicion of a crime. So they're just surveilling people and collecting information about their political views, their social media habits. Broad data kept for a really long time.
What are they, algorithm? They're building their own algorithm?
It's
targeted marketing.
It's chilling. I mean, there's already, you know, knowledge about some of the surveillance that goes on, like, night of, you know? Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. This is definitely... I interviewed this week a staff attorney with ACLU Oregon, and they're calling it as they see it. You know, it chills free speech. How are we going to protect the right of people to peaceably assemble if there is going to be a database of all of your activity on Instagram?
You know, a while ago, it was like in the height of the pandemic and the protests happening, and I was just like, let's just see what the cops are like putting out there, like for public, you know, public information. Mm-hmm. And they definitely like named like Instagram accounts that mm-hmm. just happened to be ones that were active in sharing information or like live updates. Mm. And I remember thinking like, oh, that's strange. Although for some reason, I know that we live in a surveillance state, and it just seems very natural that all these things should be like made private. But when you are trying to be a source of information, mm-hmm. You know, like at some point, some of these I'd consider some of these, you know, like users journalists in the way they're broadcasting and transmitting information and, you know, and all of that. And it's really like, this isn't something that we haven't seen before, especially when it comes to like racial justice and like groups being surveilled like this in the surveillance. But this is, I think, kind of goes to the next level because our phones are such, for a lot of folks, are such a part of our day-to-day lives, and it has so much more information than just like what political party we affiliate ourselves mm-hmm. with, you know, God forbid. Yeah, so, you know, I mean, we're talking about phone, like pictures, personal information. I mean, personal pictures, you know, you could, you know, you...
Yeah.
I'm not trying to see. As much as I love sharing pictures of my dogs, you know, there's stuff on there I wouldn't want, like, anyone to see. Mm-hmm. Like, credit card information, recipes, just conversations, texts. Can you imagine? Not cool. And the fact that there isn't any kind of guardrails around this or mm-hmm. any kind of processes about how all these are being managed. Yeah. It's free range.
Yeah,
oh, my God. That's
basically
terrifying.
What the audit found was, like, it's mostly up to like rank and file police officers of, you know, what surveillance techniques they use, what information they end up finding, where they keep, like how they keep the information and what the information gets used for. So it is, and that there doesn't even exist internal policies for it. So it's not even a matter of, well, you're not supposed to be violating people's free speech rights and you are. It's like, there's not even a rule about, you know, they haven't even established, and there's just, you know, in the technological age we live in, these types of surveillance tools are like metastasizing, like,
right,
you know, any kind of audit, any kind of, you know, inquiry into what's really going on is already behind what the cutting edge thing is, you know,
right.
And I was looking at this Willamette Week article that you shared with me, Tammy, that found that they were using at least 37 different types of surveillance tools, half of which don't have internal policies governing their use about what they should be doing, or they don't even have, you know, an internal advisement about, hey, like this, you have to make sure you have a warrant if you want to use this. You have to make sure that there is at least a suspicion of a crime that is going to be used on people, right, and not indiscriminately, because that does violate people's rights.
It's like remember when the Patriot Act was kind of like reinforced here in within like domestically?
Mm.
It's like at least they bothered to create like a name for it and not just do it. Well, they did it indiscriminately. We've all seen Enemy of the State. We all seen hashtag, you know, shout out Julian Assange. But this is like unhinged. This is, mm-hmm, like when you break up with someone and you stalk them constantly, nonstop.
Yeah.
Except you're doing this as a body that is A, violent, and B, has a lot of backing that can take this information and do whatever they want with it. You know,
right,
like it's giving stalker vibes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also in this Willamette Week article, talks about from the audit that this, so these illegal surveillance that they were doing of people's political views, keeping a ton of their data. They kept it for more than like the limitation. There is an internal limitation of like whatever data you're covering, if it's not collected to a crime, like 30 days, it's supposed to be deleted. Kept way past that. And it's in their databases. So any other, you know, metro area police department,
right, like, indifferent, yeah,
could pull someone over for a traffic stop, runs their name, all of this stuff would come up about their political beliefs, about their Instagram handles and all of this, these types of things.
In such charged times, too.
In such, you know, charged times. And, you know, it's interesting because one thing that I've been like looking into and getting interested in recently is like privacy, data security, all of this kind of stuff. And that it is really like the wild, wild west, mm-hmm, right now in terms of, you know, internet, social media, private companies. And then also seeing how that is translated to law enforcement as well. It's really chilling. And, you know, I think that especially with the digital age that we're in and the culture of sharing things on social media, I think just general public, like our idea of privacy and what is you could reasonably expect to be private about yourself has kind of like warped and changed. And I think it's really important to like put those boundaries up, especially as technology gets so, so, so good at invading privacy. The Willamette Week article listed three of these surveillance types that they found in the audit that don't have any policy that tells you how to use them. One is a room X-ray.
And where do they use that at?
Think it's a conference room at the hotel downtown? Yeah, I don't think so.
They use this
Yeah,
in places where the military uses this,
yeah,
you know,
it's really a Doppler radar, device first used by the U.S. military in Iraq and Afghanistan to basically see through walls. So very, very finely tuned motion detectors.
And you can't do like I think in the article it was saying the laws that we have apply to in the world where you aren't able to look through people's walls.
Right. Yeah. It's like a wall used. You know, we
a
didn't
wall
think
used to
that
be a wall.
Ghost cops. That's what we have now.
Thought police.
Jeez,
oh my God.
But with a room X-ray, it can detect a movement as slight as human breathing from a distance of more than 50 feet. They got robot disgusting cameras, I think it's called a Digidog, apparently. Forward-looking infrared cameras that were used. They're like the precedent for it was actually set in Oregon because they used the infrared camera to detect grow lights for like a
oh yeah
a
I remember that
operation.
Yeah, you know, all of this, it gets used abroad and then it gets perfected, mm-hmm, on bodies outside of the states, and then it gets brought I think we were kind of talking about it with demilitarized from Palestine to Portland about how these things get perfected, right, and mm-hmm, then you just execute it back into the country that created this. Like it just,
yeah,
it's a cyclical thing, and it's so sick, and it, you know, reminds us that foreign policy is not far away from us. Like it's not in this, it's this like, mm-hmm, non or this place that exists far, far away from imagination. Nope, it's here, it's literally coming back to what is it? You reap what you sow.
Yeah, very, very, very true. And yeah, well, okay, I do have a little interview clip to share. Do you want to jump over to that? So earlier this week, I spoke with ACLU staff attorney Rachel Dalal Gale about the audit findings, and we have about a 3-minute clip of that, so we can kind of get the legal take on this. So the PPB audit, how does it relate to work that the ACLU of Oregon has already done in relation to surveillance by the PPB?
Yeah, so this really just confirms a lot of what we already suspected and feared about PPB's surveillance capabilities. We've already successfully sued PPB over its live streaming surveillance of the 2020 protests, so we knew that to some extent this was happening. We didn't realize, however, the extent of it. And the audit report really dives deeper into the world of surveillance at PPB and reveals that this is a much more systemic issue than we had feared. So for instance, the audit report stated that PPB has 37 different surveillance technologies at its disposal. It unfortunately doesn't identify those for the public, but that feeds into our work in that now we know that that exists, and that's an area that we pursue in the future in terms of requesting records and making those available for the public, so that we can have increased transparency and accountability on this issue.
To your mind and in your experience, what should the PPB be doing to not violate the First Amendment protections of protesters? I know that's kind of an esoteric question, but this audit shows how, you know, freewheeling they are.
Right. So I think the audit really zeroes in on one of the main solutions here, and that is just increased internal accountability within PPB. So the audit identifies that there are pretty much no procedural guardrails in place to govern the use of these surveillance technologies or surveillance strategies. And that in itself is a problem, because then it's down to individual officers on the ground making decisions in the moment without any guidance about whether and how to surveil protesters or anyone else, when really there should be guidance coming from the top, from management, in an informed way that takes into account our civil liberties and our legal protections that dictate when it is and isn't appropriate to use these technologies. And ideally, that information would be public, it would be transparent, we would be able to hold people accountable to it. There would be input from attorneys who are aware of the law and able to counsel PPB about what is and isn't appropriate. So there's a whole system that I think should exist around these issues that simply doesn't. And that's going to be a huge step, is making sure that that is eventually implemented.
Are there grounds for individuals who were surveilled or who think that they may have been surveilled to sue the PPB or to find that out for sure?
Yeah, so the first step, and one that we're really encouraging people to take, is to reach out to the city and request records. So if you were at the 2020 protests and you think that you might have been subject to this illegal surveillance, ask Portland and find out. See if they have any records about you. And if you find anything, reach out to ACLU. We have an intake form on our website. We would love to hear from you, because there are steps you can take at that point.
So yeah, that was my interview with ACLU staff attorney Rachel Dalal Gale, talking about the PPB audit. And where do we go from here?
They said, you don't know, ask the city. They know, they did it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's, my goodness, what a, it's just like a, we're just spinning on a, what a, we're not spinning. It's not, and it's, we're not spinning, and it's not a hamster wheel, because minuscule steps, small steps to accountability. Mm-hmm. And there are great people. This is me trying to just keep myself from not going down a rabbit hole or something.
Yeah.
But Don't Shoot Portland also are doing some work around lawsuits.
Yeah,
I'm
telling,
like I said, people against someone
against
you.
Tammy's prediction for 2022 was spot on. yeah, you want to talk about Don't Shoot PDX a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to add that.
I mean, there's been no shortage of lawsuits. Like Don't Shoot Portland, I think was the class action lawsuit about trying to stop the tear gas, and I think also related to the astonishing amount of police brutality that happened at these protests. And now we're coming back 2 years later to see that they're holding information, an indiscriminate amount of information on an indiscriminate amount of people. And they're like, hey, guys, I think we need some internal policies. Can we write a memo about how to use a room x-ray?
I don't like that at all. I don't like that idea at all. I mean,
well, the room x-ray or the memo?
No, I don't like any of these things being implemented. They shouldn't. And I mean, I'm not going to go on a rant on why violence is the worst, but these aren't.
Oh, really? I'm pro violence. I'd love to hear it. Let's hash it out.
This kind of goes back to this idea, my notion mm-hmm. that the world is changing. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to let everyone know, but the world is changing. And I hate it too, you know, but it's changing. Mm-hmm. And you got to get. And if you'd want to, there is a possibility to progress onwards with the way that things are moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that also means to codify or to rejigger things inside of these ancient systems that were created literally on like slavery and misogyny and all, you know, bigotry mm-hmm. and all. And then just being like, hey, you know, this is what we were bred to do. Like maybe we can change it up because this is not. Is this who we are still? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even like more so, if their cops are going to be cops and they know what, and there is a specific job for them to do, I don't understand why there's this added assignment to, oh, now you're also going to be using these like incredibly like impactful, strong tools that are like surveillance tools that aren't like sitting outside of someone's house and surveilling them. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, these are things that can look x-ray vision.
Yeah.
You're giving people x-ray vision, you know, and it's just like, I feel like that's a whole different job of its own, you know?
Yeah.
And it should totally, I mean, I am really looking forward into learning more about all the different organizations and grassroots and alliances that are trying to get rid of all of these things from being used anywhere.
Yeah.
Because these tools are way too strong. They're way too powerful, and it's not, we have nothing to protect us. X-ray vision.
Yeah, I want to read the line from the Willamette Week article, because so right in that case that we mentioned where they use thermal imaging to find these grove lights that made it to the Supreme Court in 2001, Kylo versus United States, Antonin Scalia wrote, not always an Antonin Scalia fan over here, but he wrote, "We have said that the Fourth Amendment draws a firm line at the entrance to the house. That line, we think, must not only be firm but also bright, which requires clear specification of those methods of surveillance that require a warrant." Like, a house isn't a house anymore, you know? We're not cells with a porous membrane. Like, all of our laws, like the Fourth Amendment, that you can't be subjected to unreasonable search and seizure, that, like, that is the basis that, like, has the whole system where you have to get a warrant, which is all questionable in its own right, yeah. Right? But at the, like, that was the tiny crumb, the bare minimum that you can't do. And now, you know, walls are not critical to surveillance. And then at the same time, and this is maybe a stretch, but I'm fired up and I'm feeling it. The Coin article about what the Independent Police Review found that nobody's got their body cameras on. If they want to investigate anything, they're scrubbing social media to try to find any video that might be relevant to try to like help in their case. Because, and I mean, we've talked about this on the show before of like, that the review bodies over the police are very dependent on the police for the information that they're assessing.
That's exactly who's the person that you, the staffer, Rachel DeLaw, that's exactly what they're saying.
Yeah.
You want to know what happened? Ask the city.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the records system is so highly regarded.
Exactly, yeah.
That's sarcasm. Also been audited, and they said, you're charging too much, and you're dragging your feet so that you can charge more money for people who are trying to get public records, which is so important to have, you know, an accountable, a transparent system, because otherwise, how can we expect any kind of consistency? How can we expect anything to be fair if it's a black box that now is like shrouded in x-rays mm-hmm. and infrared cameras, right? Of what cops have access to.
Well, it doesn't matter if you have x-ray vision.
And they do, is the crazy thing.
This is where we...
Remember when x-ray vision was just for like a Superman? Pretend superhero?
This is like, what's the, is it Nietzsche with the Uberman or whatever?
I don't really like Nietzsche, so I don't
know. Oh, ew, got him. I don't know, I'm just
I love
it. You're talking about Scalia, I'm talking about Nietzsche. What's going on here?
I know. What did this turn into? got us all turned around talking about cops.
No,
this topsy-turvy, upside-down world, you know?
This is so sick. Well, there's like, all of these funds can really be better used, in helping the community itself and, like, you know, build bridges to, lessen the harm that, that people are calling, people are calling for justice, like racial justice, homing justice, this is, people are telling you exactly what will make them, what they want.
Yeah.
And yet, how do we crush this? How do we make sure that they don't tell us what they want?
Can I also say, haven't there been enough sci-fi movies that tell us what happens when this... and obviously they're, based on reality. But, laying in a bath predicting future crime. that is an untenable future, okay?
Are you making a Minority Report reference?
Yeah, I was pretty sure it was Minority Report, but I didn't want to throw it out because I actually haven't seen the movie.
Rosebud.
Oh my God, no, it is.
It's just Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Tom Cruise. Classic Tom Cruise laying in a bath and predicting future.
No, he's
crime.
Not predicting. Go watch. What are you talking about, Tom Cruise in a bath?
I'm too scared to watch it. It's too real for me.
It is now. Between the thought police and the X-ray vision.
Hello.
Well, this has been an interesting conversation, and I like that we keep it light because this is just
about
really
Rosebud.
Scary.
Yeah, Tammy thought that Minority Report was called Rosebud, or the whole Rosebud thing from Citizen Kane was in Minority Report.
I thought I watched Minority Report thinking it was Citizen Kane, waiting for Rosebud, and it never came. I was like, maybe I missed it. I recommend
it's incredible.
It. I give it a 6 out of 10 for sure.
Yeah.
It's I'll give it a 6. I'll give it a 5. Give it a 5.
Yeah,
I don't want to be
is not a Tom Cruise stan podcast.
Apparently it's becoming somehow for some reason.
Let's dial it back then.
But speaking of reporting, KBOO is in its B membership drive.
Okay, I thought you were going to do a pun. I was waiting for it.
No, that is.
Wait.
Because it's report, so you're reporting, cause you're the news, and that's something that KBOO does.
Yeah, yeah.
News and culture and arts, and we are in the midst of our Hive Drive, Spring Drive.
The kickoff, really.
The kickoff today, World Arts Day, is the day that it's starting, too.
Yeah. I, busy bees over at KBOO, putting together the radio you love. If you want
Rosebud.
To support us, Rosebud.
There we go. That's what I'm. Yeah,
That's more of the link than you
Thank
know.
You.
Hey, it's the beginning of the drive, guys. The transitions will be even smoother as time goes on. But yes, if you do want to support KBOO, kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. Do we have more that we want to say about this? Because I could go on a whole data privacy rant. I don't know if I talked about on the show. I interviewed Tom Hartman
about his
data security book. Guys, it's chilling stuff.
Well, the idea that you change your because I heard you do that interview on the news, and he was talking about it's like when you have a cat, right? And then they act differently when they know that they're being watched.
Yeah.
And now I can't, whenever I look at my dog, I can't unhear that.
And that's,
that's us.
That's chilling free speech right there.
That's us.
What it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Whenever I people who have multiple, social media accounts, they know, why you do that,
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And I'll just say of the book, that there's a section that just lists all of the different types of data that can be discovered about you and bought, sold, and traded by data brokers. And there's some things that you I think are less alarming. No, if you've interacted with different websites on the internet, right? Oh, my name, my phone number, my address, my credit card number, even all of those things, it's reasonable enough to see that they would all be tied together if you enter them into a form to buy something, right? But then they also have military status, what have you ever been married or romantically engaged, and then were your parents divorced, and did you move around a lot as a kid?
What was your pet's first? What was your first pet's name?
But all of these like qualitative things also that they scrape from your online activity, mm-hmm. and then can, you know, and it's all for monetization on that side. We're talking about private sector stuff. There was one that was absolutely wild. That was like novelty. It was just called Novelty Elvis, and I think it was just like, is this person susceptible, like interested in novelty Elvis products? But there's pages and pages and pages of like all of these different things that could be known about you and tied directly back to you. That is really, really chilling. And that, you know, those are pieces of ourselves that we don't even like protect in the way that we should, and that there aren't even safeguards against them being exploited for financial gain and to our detriment. You know, like people they'll say like, what is like your relationship with alcohol, with different drugs, does this person have a gambling addiction? And they'll target people who have gambling addictions to try to pull them into, you know, whatever online version of a casino is like allowed, so long as it like is based in the Cayman Islands. Anyway,
no, this is fascinating. You know what I do every once in a while? I just go on a tangent and just start searching things that I don't care about just to throw off the algorithm.
That's my tiny rebellion, is when the when the YouTube ads feel a little bit too tailored to me, I'm like, Crocs.
Yeah, just randomly.
And then
just,
I get the Crocs ads. And I'm going to say it now, and then I'm going to...
I know, you said
my phone is in the room. They're going to know.
They're interesting. You know how there's this whole... your credit resets every 7 years.
Is that true? I thought that was like your taste buds.
I don't know, or gum. I don't know. If you chew gum.
7 years is like forever.
or whatever. If okay, so let's say, boom, proposal, ? Every 7 years, your algorithm, or every 7 months, every 7 minutes, your algorithms refresh themselves.
Yeah.
I don't know. If there's a petition out there, I'll sign it.
Yeah, and there's like definitely personal steps that people can take to try to secure their own data. And this was one of the funny things that I asked Tom about. And after this, we can go to the midway song and get to our second part. But I asked him about, I was like, you know, so for people who think that this is like not a big deal, or people, and even thinking about this in the scope of policing, right? Like, there might be folks out there who have the idea, it's like, well, if you didn't do anything wrong, like,
what did Benjamin say?
Why do you even care, you know?
You have nothing to hide.
Yeah, exactly. First of all, if you were walking by a protest, if you lived in the vicinity of a protest, they probably have your data. Second of all, the way Tom Hartman put it was, well, yeah, tell those people, see how they would like to have a camera in their bathroom. You know, like people who say that privacy doesn't matter. Because I think that that's what I mean about our perception of privacy being warped, is that wanting to be private, wanting to, you know, reserve things for an in-person or even like a completely private sphere, that there are some things that you just keep to yourself, mm-hmm. that there is like a world or a view that is an admission of guilt in some way.
It's this weird puritanical society that we have.
Totally. But then also the pushback against that has become, you have to bare your soul in every corner
yourself
of life, of work, of your social mm-hmm. life, of mm-hmm. the on the internet, of all of the people that you went to high school with. You got to be open if you want to like mean anything, you know. You have to put all of these aspects of yourself out there. I don't know.
It's an interesting thing, like, you know, when folks say, you know, if you're... Because there's also, on the other side, argument of, like, well, what I say in the privacy of my own home doesn't, you know, shouldn't count, and I can be able to say whatever I want, and free speech for that. So it's an interesting... and I think that there is, like, in the Venn diagram, there is, like, an intersection of in there of just, like, Confusionites is what I'm calling it.
What does that mean? Say more.
You'll figure it out. Yeah, you'll figure it out.
All right. Rosebud.
We'll get there.
We'll take a little musical break, yeah?
I could do that, yeah.
All right, we'll take a little musical break, and when we come back, we'll be talking to you, the listener. So get the buttons ready. No, phones don't have buttons anymore.
Some phones have buttons. Some phones have got screens.
Yeah. Get them ready. We're going to be talking about art. So we'll be back in just a moment. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah, the ending.
Yeah, that's Earl Sweatshirt with Riot! Exclamation point.
Nice.
Yes. You are listening to KBO. Oh, Portland. This is The Gap. I'm Tammy, and with me is my co-host, or the co-host. And I don't like these possessive with mine.
It's okay. I don't mind.
Okay,
we can
cool.
talk about this later.
We'll talk about it.
Sure. I'm Althea. Hi. Happy to be here. We are in the second half of our show now, which is our community question segment. So if you would like to call, we would love to hear from you. Today is, of course, World Art Day, also the kickoff to the KB Spring Drive, the Hive Drive, but we'll talk about that in a second. It's World Art Day, people. And we want to know what piece of art has been particularly impactful to you. Maybe a song lyric, some kind of visual art, poetry, maybe art of your own practice, that kind of thing. We would love to hear from you. Please do give us a call, 503-231-8187. Maybe it's a piece of art that other people need to be paying attention to. Let's share, you know? I'm super into that. 503-231-8187.
I love that. World Arts Day. What has your world's art been? I don't know. I'm trying to say your in your world, in your sphere.
Art of the world. Oh, sphere.
Yeah, you like that.
That's good.
Because it's a world round. Well, some people say it's round. The data is out for that.
We
one
don't
still.
Need to get into the
music.
Let's not impugn our credibility right now.
It's mine. I'm just asking the questions.
You're asking questions, but are you seeking answers?
No, that's some art right there.
Yeah, that's art.
Put that on a pillowcase and sleep on it.
Yeah. Well, I could embroider it.
Embroider, yeah.
There we go.
impactful art in your life, poetry, music, art, like paintings.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, I mean, it can be anything. Nature is oof, number mm-hmm. one, number one artist.
Yeah, definitely.
Those yeah. sunsets every night or every evening.
I have family from out of town visiting.
Ooh.
And they live in a much more arid climate. And we went on a walk, and they were so excited to see the trees.
Oh, yeah.
All these
They're
like,
duggies.
Look at all these different shades, like taking pictures and stuff. Which, you know, when you get used to it, it's kind of mundane. But it's like, no, that is a really cool shade of green. You're right about that. I've been just walking with my head down. but yeah, if you want to talk to us about a piece of art that has been particularly impactful to you, please do give us a call, 503-231-8187.
Beautiful.
Art, Tammy, come on, what's
oh,
yours?
Oh, yeah.
What has impacted you?
Oh, definitely music for sure-sies.
Mm-hmm. Is there like a lyric that is like, that's the one?
I'll start with ones that I know that cable listeners would appreciate.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like the old school rock ones. All you touch and all you see is all your life will ever be.
Whoa.
You hear that? I threw the pen. That's what
That's
it does.
Good.
Every time I hear, I say, oh. So actually that lyric makes me, yeah, it's like, whenever I'm scared to do something, I think I'm like, man, I gotta push for, I want my life to be more, you know, because all I touch and all I see is all it'll ever be.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta do more. So that one always gives me like, really hits me in my root chakra, as
okay.
they say.
Yeah.
Yep. Another one that I'm trying to think. There's another one, and it's a fool who plays it cool by making the world a little colder.
That yeah, that's a good line too. Speaks
Gotta
to the
be
soul.
Nice. Gotta be nice. How about you, Althea? Share some. What you got?
Well, if folks want to call in, please do 503-231-8187. So there's a couple that come to mind. Because one of them in terms of like visual art, and I think that. There's kind of like two categories of art that is impactful to me. There's like art sort of standalone by itself that kind of like hits me in my gut and I'm like, whoa, that's cool. That, you know, made me think or feel. And then there's other kinds where it's like, I maybe had that inclination, but understanding more about it has made it like mean even more.
Mm.
So Las Meninas by Diego Velazquez was one of those ones. Like it's a giant I don't know if it's romantic period art history people don't come get me, okay? I'm really sorry, but it's really cool because like it's one of those ones where the more you look the more you see, right? And you see this young girl who is the like a princess of Spain and her like ladies in waiting, and then further into the picture you can see there's like the artist who's painting the king and the queen as her parents. But it's just like this interesting shift in perspective, and you know, seeing what people we're thinking about at different points in history, I think is really cool. What was the other one I was going to say? Well, I was going to say cave paintings, because have you ever seen the ones where it's like people putting their handprints in caves? And sometimes it wasn't even like early humans, it was like Neanderthals, but like up high on a cave and there's like little baby hands.
Aww.
But like somebody lifted up the baby to put their hands on the wall.
That's like me with the cat or with the dog. No, I get it. That's
footprints
cute.
On the ceiling. You know?
Oh, I've never seen that. I gotta check it out. That's probably really, chilling. Not chill, but like,
yeah,
grounding. Wow.
Yeah. Here's another maybe stretch if we're talking about art, but this is one of those things. I think I was telling you about this, that would have me be like randomly overcome with emotion. Because sometimes I'll see people on like videos and stuff, they'll be like, check out this like illegal Lego build, and they're like, this is what Lego doesn't want you to know, and they'll like like build something with these like incredible curves by just like pushing the limits of these, you know, tiny interlocking bricks. And there's been times where it like makes me cry. Mm. That like the creativity of the human spirit has no bounds, even when it's of our own creation. Like, mm, we built these little blocks to fit together in one way, and even so people are like, I'm gonna make a sphere, and when I do this, like, it twists and it rolls. And I just think that's cool.
Try to tell someone they can't do something.
Yeah, try to tell someone that they can't create, you know.
Your share, I appreciate that a lot. It makes me think of a lot of it, just taking it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine if someone's like, no, you can't do that, that's not what I wanted it to be. Well, get with it. 503-231-8187 is the phone number. We'd love to hear which art, piece of art, whether it be music, poetry, visual, mm-hmm, anything, how has it impacted your life?
Sculpture.
Ooh.
3D.
503-231-8187.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. Okay, this reminded me of something else that was particularly impactful in the world of art. So I wouldn't call myself an artist, but I like doing art. I like crafting and stuff, you know, and I think, and I feel that I encountered what probably a lot of people encounter, which is, well, I'm not any good, I don't want to do the thing until I'm good at the thing, or other people are so good at painting, why should I ever paint, you know. And I think it was actually one of Josie Lewis Art, who I believe is an artist in Minnesota, talked about this and like said, like, art doesn't have to be good, and you know, the creation of the thing can be the value in itself, and that if you want to do the thing, you should just do it, and it's okay. And here's the secret: most people will just be stoked that you did it. They're like, whoa, you taught yourself to crochet, like that's dope, versus like, you didn't really weave your ends in there really good, or like I think you dropped a stitch right there. Like, that is, the world is nowhere near as critical of you or what your creative pursuits would be, especially, as you are of yourself. So if that gives you freedom,
put your perfect in a sack and throw it over the river.
There we go.
Yes. And perfection. You know,
gross.
We know better than this.
Well, we don't do that here on this show.
We don't do that. And speaking of the show, we have a caller on the line. Harry, can you hear us?
Yes. Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I have a painting on the wall of my kitchen. I've had it for years. I've taken with me to a few places, a few houses, and it was a controversial painting in that it was a picture of a fruit bowl, but inside the fruit bowl was bananas and eggs, bananas and apples and oranges and stuff. But on one side of it was like six eggs, and it would ask people, "Are these eggs raw eggs or boiled eggs?" And I would make this this question to people come and. They had various answers. It was an old painting, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And finally I asked Google, how long does a boiled egg last? And it said that no matter how you store it, it's 1 week. So I assume it's still a boiled egg, but I've never seen boiled eggs in a fruit basket before.
Yeah.
Of a painting, you know.
That's very cool. I like that it's a conversation starter.
For sure.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing, I was at a friend's house and with a couple friends, and they had a painting, and they were looking at it, and he said, well, I wonder what this is. Well, he pulled out it. Another friend pulled out a phone, took a picture of it. And the picture said, it said what the name of the picture was, and it was worth like $700.
Whoa.
I was shocked to see that the technology can do that. You can take a picture of a picture, and I'll tell you how much it's worth.
Yeah, that's... The technology's gotten really, really wild. A lot of, like, you know, the big museums that you got to travel to go see, mm-hmm. them, their whole collection's online.
Mm-hmm.
You can check all of that out. Well, that's very cool. I appreciate your fruit bowl with eggs, and thank you for telling us about it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Happy Bye. World Art Day. Thanks for calling.
I wonder if they were fruit eggs or not fruit eggs. not fruit eggs. Goose eggs.
Oh, yeah. What kind of egg?
The fancy eggs. Yeah. We have another caller on the line. Francis, can you hear us?
Hi.
Hello. We can hear you perfectly.
Good. I enjoy your topic today. I listen to you often and don't usually call. But art is, to me, music is a lifesaver in so many ways. And the written word. I'm working on the next great American novel myself. But I wanted to speak about hip-hop music. And how powerful it is. I became familiar with it because both of my sons are hip-hop artists, and I fell in love with Tupac Shakur's words. His words are eloquent. A friend of mine used to call him Baby Shakespeare, but there's a new video out, and it happens to be my son, and the name of it is Freedom. And his words never cease to amaze me, how he can put words together and speak on various social political issues. But this one in particular, it just came out Wednesday. It's on YouTube. It's called Freedom, and his name is Fabian John, and that's spelled J-O-N. So if you just put in his name and the word freedom, that video will come up. He has several others on there. And I am so impressed with not just him, but how our young people today put things into perspective and keep on keeping on, as we used to say. A line from this current video, it's shots of Portland. It's all around Portland. It's definitely a Portland MC's video, and he says in this one line here, when life changes the rhythm, make sure you're on beat. That's just a little bit of it, but if you get a chance, listen to it. It's called Freedom by Fabian John.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Francis. Yeah, appreciate you. Happy World Art Day.
I love that.
Yeah. I'll have to look it up after the show.
And we also have another caller on the line. Tuasi, can you hear us?
Yes, I sure can. I appreciate your show so much. I just wanted to quickly mention that a lot of art standards are held up by European gatekeepers. So my family are artists, but since we're folk artists, then people who have fine arts degrees kind of look down their noses at our art.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you know, art is just art. Nobody gets to tell you how to be an artist. So if you make art and European high society doesn't like it, more power to you. Anyway, have a great morning.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, I gotta agree.
European white supremacy culture, all of it is where we get these ideas of perfectionism in the first place, right?
Oh, there you go.
Holding that high standard.
Yeah.
And also that...
Make it.
Totally. And yeah, not even to get into how so many of these like standards of classical art in Europe is completely misunderstood. For example, like Greek and Roman sculptures are like, wow, look at the beauty of this, look at how pure and pale white this marble is. It's like, back in its day, it was painted up like a sports fan, all right? There it was gaudy as all get out, because that's what, like, art has is always like that. Like, it's to communicate, it's to share with people, and of course it's difficult to understand outside of its time, but to hold it up as better than, I don't know, what real life people are doing now.
Ultimate, right? I forgot where I saw it, but they're like, start supporting living artists, and I thought that was an interesting. It was like years and years ago, and it's like, right, I think when all of us try to, like, I don't know, try to become more in touch with a higher whatever, like, you know, just like way of understanding, not a higher way of understanding, but a different way of understanding. I know when I looked at my bookcase, I'm like, oh, no. Where are the living people? You know, why are there so many dead white guys on my bookshelf? You know?
Yeah.
And
totally.
It's re-looking at the world and finding like beauty in art and seeing how it all connects, or, you know, in a different way, because it's all so, it's all so interwoven into each other.
And I mean, it's like art itself is in like a capitalist society, right? Is fraught in a number of ways as well, because in each of us there is the value of the art that is in the practice of it, right? And then there is commercialization, commodification, you know, in it as well. I don't know. It's very, hats off to all the artists out there who are putting themselves out there and sharing and selling their work. Like, support living artists. I think that's a great mantra for today. If other folks want to call in, it's World Art Day. We're talking art. What's art that's been impactful to you? Music, visual art. You want to talk about pottery? We want to talk about pottery with you. 503-231-8187. We'd love to hear what you have to say in this last 10 minutes that we got here on The Gap today.
Oh, makes me think of the art tax.
Art tax?
I named it. Remember that?
No. What are you talking about?
Oh,
sorry. I know I'm
kidding.
Supposed to yes
just
and
kidding.
On the show.
Just kidding.
I'm spacing. I'm sorry.
Totally kidding.
whoa, that was the same. Okay, I have a thing that I can share. So I made this playlist called Songs with Raw Lines. That's not the exact title, but it's like, I want to categorize those ones, and none of them are the same genre even remotely. But one of the ones that regardless of how you feel about the song, kind of cuts me to my core, which is Burning for You by Blue Oyster Cult. The line, I'm living for giving the devil his due. That hits hard. I love that. And the cowbell, you know, come on. What's better than that? I'm living for giving. Sometimes things are just, you know,
I was
got you down. I'm living for giving the devil his due.
Got him.
Hello.
Get out of here. I don't have any tattoos, but I always thought if I did get tattoos, it would be just song lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
Which, now looking at it, I'm like, that's, well, I don't know. I don't know, but we'll figure it out. I feel like I'm too old for it anyways. But I like that music has been kind of like an ongoing thing, because there's something, you know what they say about music?
What do they say?
One good thing about music is when it hits, you feel no pain.
I like that.
There you go.
Whoa, I never
that's
heard that
me.
One
that's,
before.
That's Bob Marley.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah, just start taking credit. Kidding. Oh, God, Bob Marley has such good ones. Oh,
yeah.
My mom can't hear No Woman, No Cry without crying.
Well, wrong title for the song, I guess. Yeah. Couldn't quite connect that. If other folks want to call in, please do. 503-231-8187. Was there like, I don't know, like a book or a poem that you ever had to read in school or something that made you feel things?
God, feeling things at school. I had to read Tuck Everlasting, and I don't know if it made me feel a lot of hate towards the book.
Okay, well, hey. just getting, squeezing any kind of emotion out of you.
That's the feeling I had
that
towards it.
Is one way, sure.
Yeah. Actually, no, I really enjoyed reading Elie Wiesel's Night.
Yeah.
I enjoyed. It was, I was like very, it was very enlightening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, or it was around the time when, you know, I found out about Maus and books, banned books and stuff like that, and just learned about, that was actually, you know, thinking back at it, that was a opening, that opened a lot of doors for me to, like, to who I am today.
Yeah.
And that's what art does. I mean, it can literally change. I mean, think of when I, you know, feel low, I know exactly, like, I have like a archive of things to go to. It's like, I have like my records, it'll make me feel better, or like a book or so, or like a quote that I think of, you know, and it's really, man, art, you know what they say?
What did they say? I was going to say something.
Not a lot.
I don't know.
Heart, what is it? Heart without, I don't know. You can't
earth
say, art, you can't say art. You can't say heart without saying art.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
A lot of them. 5 minutes left to the show.
Yeah. If people want to call in, 503-231-8187. We haven't talked about, like, movies, but, like, movies or video games as art, I think, can also be, like, very impactful.
You want to go to jail or you want to go home?
What?
Think about that at least 4 times a day. It's from training day.
Oh, nice.
I tell it to my dog. So you want to go to jail or you want to go home? Movies. Love. I watched Repo Man last night at Hollywood. It was great.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fantastic. I forgot about that. Psh, that's a movie.
Yeah. Mm. People really pushing the envelope.
They were, yeah.
With what can be done in a movie medium.
You've seen The Warriors? No, that's a movie pushes envelopes.
I don't think I have seen that one.
Oh, wow. That's really fun. Oh, great movie.
All right. I'll add it to my watch list.
I definitely recommend it.
With
also,
Minority Report, and I'll look for Rosebud.
You watch Minority Report, I'll watch Citizen Kane.
I don't need you to watch Citizen Kane. I haven't seen Citizen Kane.
I will. Don't worry.
Give me an open pass to make you watch a movie, and I'll think about what I need it to be.
You already said Citizen Kane.
No, I didn't say that.
Okay, I have another one for you for our last few minutes of the show. What is the most recent thing? Because you said, you know, kind of, you like, there is that element of perfection which holds people back from calling themselves artists or from really, like, doing the deed, doing the thing. What's the last thing that you like got over that, like, the most recently in as far as art goes?
Yeah, that's a good question. Sometimes you gotta make bad art. I feel like I have the perfectionism in me, but one of the ways that I've, and this doesn't directly answer your question, but I want to say it anyway, which is that one of the ways that I've kind of tried to, like, tear that down for myself is that the way that I, like, keep track of, you know, what I'm supposed to be up to, I use a bullet journal, but, like, not totally in the typical style. And every month I make myself make a collage. So I, like, you know, cut things up and glue them all together in a fun and interesting way that is pleasing to my eye. And, like, forcing myself to do that every month and to have that little bit of creativity. And it doesn't take very long. It's not, like, a huge thing that I have to fill up. And it's not, like, so burdensome, you know? But, like, doing just even that little bit will have me... Like, there is, like, a level of, like, creative fulfillment that I think is, like, so necessary to be alive. And like, I taught myself how to crochet the last couple months. Like, that just, you know.
And you taught me now.
Yeah, yeah. I was teaching Tammy to crochet the other day.
Because you forward that over.
Yeah.
Look at you.
And I got interested in making, like, miniatures out of trash. I've been doing some of that. And yeah, you don't have to be perfect. You got go out and make bad art, and then sometimes it'll be good. But give yourself permission to do bad art. And the other thing that's great about Portland, if you're in the Portland area, you can get really cool, very cheap secondhand art supplies at a good old Scrap PDX, which I love for that reason, especially if I'm, like, trying to try a new thing. It's like, oh, I can spend, like, literally $2 to see if I like it, or maybe I'm terrible at it and I hate it. So it's not even, like, breaking the bank to do any of the fun things that one might want to try. Well, hey, this has been The Gap. We thank you so much for listening in with us and helping us kick off the spring drive here on World Art Day. It's our Hive Drive, so if you do want to support KBOO, you can go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. We really appreciate you listening and supporting, and I hope you enjoy some art today, or maybe do some bad art and tell us about it. You can always send us an email, thegapradio@gmail.com.
Support living artists, they say.
Support living artists.
See ya.
Bye.
Community Radio, and we're in our annual spring membership drive. At KBOO, radio is our business, and you can help our radio hive thrive this spring drive. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to make a donation today. Be sure to give by May 28th to help us reach our $56,000 goal.
Of language that makes the sergeant blush. Oh, wouldn't join the army, that's what we all inquire. Don't we pity the poor civilian sitting around the fire? Oh, 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 it's a lovely war.
It's a lovely war.
Oh, wouldn't be a